You ready?
I started the recording.
So welcome back. This is hour three from September 1st, Tuesday Live with Linda. And I would like to hear from any of you, if you, first of all, let's see here, if we have anybody who was dealing with pain before, how you're doing. And I would just love it. Francoise, how are you? How are you doing? I was so inspired the last time from this wonderful, sounds like a network chiropractor that you found has been so supportive. Do you have?
Yes. Thank you, Linda. I feel better and better. It has come to me that I haven't breathed for lives, you know.
Many lives.
It's been a lot of life that I don't breathe correctly, you know. I have had this message because I do the Tita Chi show for breathing correctly and body blessing and the hair slide, and I say the mantra, remember your perfection, and suddenly it comes to me that message that I haven't breathed for lives, you know. So it gives me a very big hope to deconstruct it, what I have built without breathing.
You interesting.
Yes. And yes, because I've read somewhere that what we have built can be deconstructed.
So, yes, we can change.
Yes. So it's wonderful, very wonderful. And now I do the body blessing in the enchanted forest with the fairies.
Oh, beautiful.
Yes.
So for those that we have, a couple of people have only been, if Petra, you've only been here for two sessions. We, before every Sunday, we were going leading into the fairy, into the enchanted forest. And that's where so much healing can happen. And we didn't do it the last time because on Sunday, we really wanted everyone to just really work on the techniques because they're important. And continuing into that forest, it's really a place.
Yes.
Yes.
It gives me a big happiness, a really big happiness that I can really feel with my body, with my heart, and it's wonderful.
So when you're doing the heart hug, if are you experimenting or like exploring, and all of you, I ask this for all of you, like various ways of breathing, and it depends on the tempo, right? Like, so I'll do like, that's one way I can breathe in as I go around. And as I do the lift and come to the, in this case, the nine, reminding that like six is toward the ground, nine toward my right shoulder, 12 under the chin, and three to my left shoulder. So I
think we can maybe go.
That's one way that I can do it. Now, what's another way? Let's, you lead us.
There's one question from Petra. Could you please say again what touch it was to improve the breathing?
Yes. So what we were doing, Petra, and you can go back when did we do this? Oh, maybe it's in the, was it in the last session? Was it in, oh, you know what, Francoise, it was in the other program, wasn't it? So maybe we need to do it again. So Petra, Francoise was dealing with, you know, the something called emphysema, this in restriction of breathing. And so we started thinking, okay, what are, let's just do it, all the different ways we can breathe. So the Feldenkrais breathing, I love the Feldenkrais exercise in the Awareness Through Movement book of Moshe, where you breathe from the belly to the top, but we started doing it a little differently. So let's just, let's explore. And actually, so I'm this is where my hands want to go first, to the ribs, because what we were saying is, what I said in that class is that, oh my gosh, we ignore our ribs. It's like they don't even exist. So this is one way I can take the back of my hand, make a circle and a quarter and a lift on the ribs on my right side. And I really encourage you to stand up to do this, because you can't really do it sitting down. Ah, ribs, what a concept that we would start dealing with them. Like, and if you can only use one hand because of a restriction of your arm, do what's comfortable. Just find ways of, let's move these ribs. And then we started going down and taking the hand behind the back and, and moving the body. That's why I love doing this in standing, because you want to move your body. And the fun of doing it together like this on Zoom. Okay, now I'm going to come up here and just play around. I mentioned before when just this area right in front of the shoulder, above your breast, whoa, doing a lift there and a whoa, like, and moving the whole time. That's why I want to stand up to do this, because I want to move my body. Now I get in the area of the heart hug, and now I'm going to go down to my belly and really circle it and move with both hands. I'm lifting with both hands. In case somebody in the future is listening to this, I'm really feeling, it feels really wonderful to just go, like, I'm feeling my right inside of the wing of the pelvis and like lifting here and moving and playing with it. That it's the fun of doing all these different things. And remember, Donna, you were able to go and lift your back and move with the two hands. And I'm really happy, because when I link my hands together like this, I can bend my left elbow and I can get way higher. If I'm just doing this alone with one hand, not interesting. Oops. And see, my arm isn't supposed to bend like this, because in my left elbow, I have this plate and five screws here. And this, if you could see it, it pops. See, that pops. It's, this shoulder is subluxating. Like, who cares? Yeah. Now, how does that feel to the rest of you? This feels really good to me. And I'm thinking of this, like, for my lungs. You'd think, what? So low? Yeah, let's move everything. I think what would be great, and maybe you've already done this, Francoise, is to have some music that you love to move to. I just love having certain types of music, and that would be fun to have something that would inspire you.
Yes.
A friend of mine sent this morning. I want you all to hear this. I really enjoyed this. Let's see, where is it here?
When the saints go marching in, I want to be in that number.
Can you hear it?
It's wonderful.
Really got me dancing.
Yes.
and if we play with ourselves like this in this way and have something to move to, it's so different than, you know.
Yes, it's a good idea. Thank you.
Great.
And you wanted to show us the second way of doing a hot egg.
Doing what?
You speak about hot egg. The classical way, and you wanted to show us another way.
I did?
Wasn't you?
Maybe someone else remembers. I don't remember.
Well, Linda, while you're thinking about that, one comment is, you know, you got excited when you were doing the T-touch right here for breathing. Right. That's the beginning of your lung meridian in Chinese medicine.
Ah, hey, that's very cool. And my God, that's so shut down. If you think about it, how people go around.
Yeah.
It's kind of like if you bring your hands up like this, where your thumbs land is basically where your lung meridian starts. And that's where you got really excited with the T-touches. Yeah. I'm like, yes.
Right.
And then your rib cage, there's the anterior serratus muscles that are used in kinesiology to check the energy of how lung flows.
Whoa.
Yes, whoa. All around the rib cage. Yes.
And think about it, Marianne, because what I find most of us don't think about our ribs having anything to do with our breathing. It's really interesting. And if we move in there and just like talk to the ribs, and acknowledge them. That's what I've found has been really useful. So all this stuff, anything else that we're touching here, like what happens when we move like this? Something must be happening with the breathing. Oh. Any relationship there?
So you're do that spot again. Let me look it up on to see. Let me look it up.
Interesting. That is so helpful because over these years with T-Touch, for you, one of the things we've been focusing on is opening this area. I say like make this flat so you have like a landing for an airplane, because most people have the tendency to go around with this collapsed in this protective way. And that
I always ask my massage therapist to massage those areas. When I get a massage, those areas right here, I said, I want this area massaged. Please don't avoid it. I don't care if you're around my breasts. I always ask them to massage there because they don't touch it.
Right. Yeah. And there's so many places that most massage people, they won't touch the whole abdomen. And it's to me, like getting in here and really working this, let's just do this a minute. It's so nice with both hands like this. Yeah. That's what I do. Almost always when I wake up early, I make that line. I just do this horseshoe shape, talking to my whole, all this amazing part of our motor that runs everything inside the pelvic cradle. Fascinating.
How hey, Linda.
Especially, yeah, just go ahead.
No, I just remembered what you were talking about before.
All right, Yona.
With the heart hug business. Yeah. You were talking about the breath with the heart hug, the different ways.
Ah, the different ways of breathing. Like some people breathe like you could breathe in as you go around, or you could breathe in and then out as you go around. That doesn't work for me, but for some people it does. And try the other direction and see how that is for you today.
Nah.
Oh, don't like that at all today.
Linda?
Yes.
In my yoga classes, yes, Ruby, when we do heart hugs in my yoga classes, I do an inhale all the way around to 1 1/4. Yes. And then with pursed lips, come down to 6. Yes.
And that's beautiful, deep. And that depends, doesn't it? Like my body, like I can do that. That makes me a little dizzy. Interesting.
Oh.
Yeah. And so today, as I start to come, because I'm not doing the quarter, I'm not doing the quarter circle back here. The 1 1/4 circle can be that can be the stop, or you can pause and then do a quarter circle back. And boy, today my body says, "Don't do that to me." I instantly feel this like strange feeling and nerve, and because on my arm, I love that quarter circle back, but not on my heart chakra. Interesting. I don't know. It's just, we're all different, and that's why it's so interesting to explore and find out what works for you. And it might be interesting in your yoga classes to have people try different things and stop at the 9 or 3 rather than going back. Yeah. And okay, see how many, the variety when we explore and we find out what works for us.
I'll try it on the Thursday class. Yeah. Thank you.
Good. Great.
So Linda, there is a question out there around exhaling.
Yes.
And how to take that deep breath and give a big exhale. Any tips on how to improve the exhale?
Well, there are a variety of ways of breathing, inhaling and exhaling. And I've explored many of them over the years during walks. And what I find for me, like breathing in through my nose and just waiting, and then out through pursed lips with long out, long, slow out breath. As we spoke about last week, what I talked about was like, I feel like I'm filling these little alveoli, the lung balloons with oxygen. And then if I hold it, and then I slowly imagine pushing out and flattening these lung balloons so there's no more, we get rid of all of that carbon dioxide. And what I imagine doing with it is transmuting it to light and putting it out into the atmosphere in light, with light. That's my game. And what I said is, and this might be interesting, I'm pretty sure some have gone to bed. I think it's very late in Hungary. I think that Yassine must be in bed, but I was going to suggest one. Oh, there you are, you're still up. One of the things that you might consider when you can't sleep is like, even what like the heart, like to breathe in, hold it long as you can, and then really slowly out through pursed lips. Hold it as long as you can, and then I give these extra little pushes. So I breathe in through my nose, and it might be easier at first without doing the heart hug, because just really focus on filling your lungs. And then I do like what I call sips of air. Like I get as much as I can and I hold it. And I smile when I do it consciously because it's fun. Hold it, long as I can. And then and then I push out more. And I imagine flattening these little lung balloons. And then I hold it long as I can without breathing it in. Deep in again. And if I do this, like, if I do that, and not too extreme if I'm wanting to go to sleep, but that will both give me energy. And if I did that softly and gently, I believe it would put me to sleep. Now, I haven't tried this for sleep because that's what I do in the middle of the day if I need more energy. Way gives you way more energy than coffee. No comparison. And you can do it in like, just lie down flat. It really makes a difference when you're lying flat and do that. Now at night, I would just try that slowly and not to the extreme. And smile at your breath and imagine just your breath going in and whatever works for you. I like the image of these little lung balloons filling up with oxygen and sending oxygen to my whole, all my cells are getting this nice thing before I go to sleep. So it won't be extreme what I'm doing. And then gently blowing out. And you might, you'll have your own image. Like I was thinking of gently blowing out candles and just having one candle left. So there's a little light there when I go to sleep. And that light is always there. And that might be fun for any of you who don't sleep.
So Linda, a question is there a reason for the pursed lips?
Yeah, because one type of breathing is just to let your breath out. It's getting the back, that back pressure that makes a difference. And I forget what the explanation for it is, but in order, in as I visualize the really getting flattening, you know, getting all of the air out of the alveoli, that is more effective for me. And there's some explanation for that. I don't remember. But just try it. If you just let the air out, it's different than creating the back pressure. We should look that up. I should know that.
But Eleanor explained one time what the value of breathing in through your nose was, and I can't remember what she talked about, but she did.
Yeah, Marianne, we have to go back and get it because I asked her. She had no idea what she said. She totally forgot saying it, and she was just channeling it. I was so impressed, weren't you?
Yeah.
I've never heard that before.
It was great.
Because I wanted her to do it on Sunday, and she couldn't remember at all. So we need to look it up because it is, I believe, really significant. It was like no explanation I'd ever heard before.
I'll try and find it because I wrote in my notes. You asked that last week and I wrote in my notes that it vibrated that whole tree. You remember the tree she showed
us? Yeah,
of course. I wrote in my notes that it vibrated that tree and that's why we had to use the pursed lips because it didn't if we just exhale.
It sounds like it's part of the vagus nerve stuff that she talked about.
Yeah, that's what it was, the vagus nerve. We vibrated the whole vagus nerve when we did it with pursed lips, and we didn't when we just exhaled.
Yeah, which you wouldn't when you just let it out. And that is one form of some sort of yogic breathing, but I don't know what kind. There are so many different. And I think it's really, really interesting to explore various types of breathing and find out what works for you.
But you mentioned it at the beginning, Linda, with Moshe's, some of his ATM lessons where you're basically moving the breath between the upper and lower part
of
your
body. Well, you really feel it like like a ball, like a foot, not a football, a round ball, you know, a basketball. And you flip it back and forth.
Yes, they're amazing.
It is fascinating.
So Morgene has a question. Linda, around surrogate work, not on a specific area like an injury, but She's asking a question relative to platelets and chemo. A friend of hers has them down. Any way to work that? And I just want to say before Linda answers the questions, remember, we're not here to treat, diagnose, or deal with a disease specifically.
Literally important. Thank you. Yes. So what's the question? So the question is how you would deal with that in theory, not in practice.
So as a surrogate, how do you work on something that's not a specific area, but maybe on some condition? We can't talk to condition, so.
No, we can't. So let's think. So I'm trying to think how I might answer that question in theory. be more specific, just for the fun of it.
I just didn't know. I mean, I do touch on my former partner when he's in pain with the chemo and stuff, you know. And this morning he just said his platelet count was really down and he has to bring it up before they can give him any more chemo. And I didn't know if there was any general, you know, we do telling to touch. I was just curious for things we're not working on specifically, like an elbow pain or nauseousness. I just didn't know if there was an overall thing for body balance or something, because I just thought I would ask because it came up this morning.
That's a really great question and a really simple answer. Hold that being in the light of perfection. It's really, really simple.
Okay, well, that's what I do.
Look at that being and see the potential for ideal function. And that's okay. Where... seeing the perfection, it's not there right there, is it? But we can hold that knowing of that divine spark, seeing, I would just visualize that divine spark in the whole body. It doesn't matter what part, whatever parts, and just holding that and focusing on that, just focusing. And focusing, and this is where Ho'oponopono really comes in. Yeah. Because we have such a tendency, you know, we all have a, you know, there's a great tendency for human beings to blame ourselves or blame something. Just hold that beauty and hold that forgiveness for the fact that it's in the moment, perhaps not perfect, but we can see it in, as its potential for perfect functioning. That's a huge gift. It's all you have to do. Really simple. And it really relates back to this thing, this Hindu legend of hiding that perfection inside. Yeah, seeing that inside. Yeah.
Linda, if I can share a moment, when I had chemo, Peter did T-touch on the chemo bags,
yep,
on the chemo syringes, and with the intention of love and sending me what I needed.
Yep.
And again, this was back in 2001 when I was told I had 18 months to live. And I will tell you, I went through 6 chemo treatments. The time he was not there doing it, I was sicker than a dog. The times he was there doing the working on the chemo, sending, you know, intention, doing T-touch on the chemo.
Absolutely.
I was not sick. And here I am almost 20 years later.
Yeah. And you, if you're there or even from a distance, imagine it's better if you're there, if it's possible, to actually as the fluid is going through the cord, whatever it is, into the bag, you know, through the bag, into the cord, you see, you hold the wonder of that instead of what else it could be. And you just hold the gratitude and you see that as entering the body and bringing wonder. You know? And that's what he did. And we've done this with, I have on my iPad, I have a couple of stories where people did this. Some of our practitioners did this for a sister or a family member going through chemo. And it made a huge, huge difference, as you said. And you really had that opportunity to see the difference when you had Peter there holding that for you, witnessing it, creating that, as opposed to not being there.
Well, and it was funny because, you know, I'm an engineer by degree. I was an executive with IBM. So I had all this science and this questioning stuff going on in my head. And I kept questioning it. My thought was always, it can't hurt, might help. Why not? And, you know, to me, I was so shocked when I started getting really sick when he wasn't there. And I'm like, oh, I guess it was helping. And it wasn't like it was the sixth time. It was right in the middle. So it was, there's no reason that it would have been one session and not the other, other than he wasn't there. So I always question stuff. But then I'm like, I've gotten to the point where let go and let's see how it works. And it was amazing. And I see the animals teach me it all the time. I mean, they're always my eyes and lack of human filter. You know?
And Marianne, it's our opportunity as whole beings to recognize that that tendency that we have to disregard, because that's the learned left brain stuff, you know, and go to the place of wonder, seeing the wonder in it. That's kind of like, it's another level. We can say, well, can't hurt, but we could say, there's a wow factor here. Oh my gosh, if you think how many people have been alive because of that, and we look at that, that gives it, and that takes consciousness to be with that, because it's terrifying at many levels. So if we can flip this around and go one step beyond, and because I think that is, that is the engineer mind. Can't hurt. Well, we try it. But what if we create, more than create, what if we allow ourselves to see the wonder? That's another level.
Absolutely.
And this is so helpful for you to talk about it, and the fact that you had Peter there, and when you didn't, and to have your engineer mind and have your healer mind besides, and look at what we do with ourselves. Fascinating, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for sharing that, because, you know, to have you sitting there is different than me telling a story about somebody else where it worked. It's a great gift to share that.
Thank you.
Denise, any aha moments or, how's your vacation?
Fine, but next week we start with school, with all students, 30 persons in one room. I'm very, very, excited to see what will happen. And, we will see. I have no idea. But I have another question later for my dog, because she has something with her back, and I want to ask you later.
Oh, it's okay. You can ask it now, because we're kind of winding down.
All right. She has a slipped back. And not bad, but a little bit. And I talked with Kirsten, and she means I should try with bandage. And that's a little bit a problem. And I want to ask you if you have an idea, what can I make with which touch could help?
How old is she?
Linda, what I understood is that the vertebra sometimes sticks out a little bit, and then it goes back in. And she had an operation. Wo hatte die Operation gehabt?
in dem Sprunggelenk.
Hind leg joints.
Ja.
Mit einem halben Jahr. Also da war sie ein halbes Jahr und jetzt ist sie 6 Jahre.
Und was war das Sprunggelenk?
OCD, also da musste ein bisschen Knochen entfernt werden, weil der sich abgelöst hatte.
Wow.
And im Wachstum, genau.
Wow. Interesting. And she's made it to 6 years.
Yep. Und was wirklich sehr gut hilft, ich mache jeden Abend T-Touch mit ihr, Python-Touch am Bein.
Ja.
Und viel Entspannung und eben touchen den ganzen Hund. Und das ist wirklich unsere, our doctor is very impressed, because there's keine Arthritis, oder? There's no Arthrose, nothing special.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
So let me show you something.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have to get something.
So we'll need someone to rephrase that in English back for the recording.
Okay, so
sorry.
Basically, her dog had an operation on her back hind leg joints. They had to take some bone off, right? And that was when she was half a year old. Now she's 6. She has hardly any problems, but from time to time, one vertebra in her back comes out. And she doesn't have big issues, but they also don't want it to become a big issue. She's traumatized by bandages because of the operation. So I told her she should start to get her used to it.
What happened there?
Okay.
So, one of the things that I have found is it a really simple movement.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. See if I can reach my computer. Darn, I don't, there. I just do this. Starting usually up here behind the ears, I put one hand, the thumb on one side, fingers on the other, and just move down on both sides of the spine.
Is it okay when she sit or she has to stand, or it's not important?
So I start up behind the ears, put the thumb on one side. He's not quite sure what we're doing yet. I have to see if I can get him comfortable on this pillow.
So this is a pillow. It's
now, let's see. Thumb on one side, fingers on the other. And I'm really paying attention to my breathing.
How much pressure?
It's about a 2 pressure. See if I can get his hindquarters up high enough there. Good boy. It's hard for you to see where his spine is. It's fine.
It's okay. I see it. It's all right.
There.
Yeah. And nearly there is the part where she has.
Now, if she's nervous about it, you just put the hand on very quietly. And go on the other side of it. So if she, like at first she may turn her head back like he is right there. She may turn his head back. And then when she does, you say, okay, I see you, easy. And go back to where it was okay. And it takes, like, it took me quite a few sessions working on this little dog before he would allow me to do this, because he's broken the right knee. So I'm going just along the spine, thumb on one side, fingers on the other, two pressure, 2 seconds with a long pause. And I just walk down, and all I'm doing is talking to that brilliance of that spine. So I'm not thinking anything except, well, just feel this. And then you can do the other side. So like I can hold the fingers and work the thumb down, you know, and go down that way.
And it's all right when she laid on this side.
Yeah, absolutely. The quieter she gets, the better.
Okay.
Yeah. And if she doesn't like it, you go to some place where she knows, okay, I get it, and go even lighter. Yeah. And so work for the trust. And it's so easy with the dogs or the kitties because they show us more. Dogs more than the cats even. But the cat will too. Yeah. For those of you who know horses, doesn't he look like a horse from behind? He looks like a mane. He has a mane. And so it's helpful for you to see, like,
yeah.
And I wait, no? I wait.
Yeah.
What a good dog. Want to say hi to everybody? Yeah. Good. So that's what I would do. And yep. And it's really with just acknowledging the brilliance of the body. And that I think that's the hardest thing for us to do, is we want to do something, right?
Yeah.
Let's see if I can put him down. Good boy.
Slow down.
Good boy. Ah, careful, please. No. Take your foot down. There. That's a good boy. There you go. Good dog. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Linda. Thank you. I will try it.
Yeah. Yeah. And maybe it's helpful for you to see it. You can see it so clearly on an animal, you know, this movement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So, let's see here a moment and see if there's any other thoughts that anyone has that they want to share. Just how are you feeling? Donna, how are you?
I'm doing well. I've discovered that I have 5 bulging discs down in the lumbar region. The area that you showed me how to work on my back. And so that really helps a lot. And I'm using that with the Beamer a lot to try to get the swelling down, because I think after 7 years, it's a long-term injury, and I'm afraid they might want surgery, and I want to heal it with the T-Touch. And so I find that I do that a lot at night.
And when you're doing it at night, like this session that we've had here, working with Yazim, that was really profound. And the concept of looking at the perfection of the body when we're talking about cancer, it's and when you're thinking about 5 discs, interesting, if you can bring us all there with you. And just imagine us there, just holding. Wow. The wow factor in your body. The fact that you can be there after all these years and all the injuries that you've had in the falls. And you're still in this beautiful mode, Donna, of knowing that you can help yourself, that you can help yourself, and you are helping yourself.
Well, I feel that it's the exact area where you fell. I feel that we've talked several times about things that relate really specifically. The work we did today with the shoulder, even that was really helpful because I get very tense. And so things like that can take my mind away from it and work on parts of my body that I don't work on. And I will have a cast off this week. So I feel that that work we did with the shoulder will work beautifully going down the arm.
Beautiful. And when you're doing that, I suggest that, like Francoise did, imagine yourself out in the forest and call any of us that you are attracted to just be around you, just to be there to witness the magic and miracles of the body, and that we simply hold you in that amazing ancient forest with calling the trees and the fairies and the angels and see them. Call them in and actually imagine that you can feel the breath of the earth and you can feel the wind in the trees and know that we're just there holding your beauty.
Yeah, the past 2 days I've gone out and really concentrated on this one area where there's a tree stump and some trees around it and pine needles and calling it my special place and thinking of it as just a really nice place to go to, surrounded by trees.
Beautiful. This, our ability to imagine us then and to create the nature around us and to call in who you'd like to be there, just sitting quietly and, you know, see who else is there in terms of what beings or what animals, the animals you've worked with over the years, some of them will want to be there with you.
Yeah.
And so make it a really healing experience for you and everyone else you've called in.
Yeah, I really feel it is. It already is. I notice specific changes that are, I think, dramatic, you know, especially where it's 7 years old. The fact that I can go painless says to me that I can make myself better because it's able to, for a little while, be painless. So that means that the swelling's going down or something's shifting that will, I can achieve if I just have to be patient. Sometimes I feel I go a little rough because I'm desperate. I think about it as desperation. I go back off, calm down, just experience it. You're talking 7 years here. You know, if it's a couple months, it's nothing.
Yeah. And when did your MS start flaring?
Actually, it started flaring up in 2013 when I broke my hip. Uh-huh. And when I believe I incurred this injury, and I was quite angry for a while because I went MRIs for 7 years. No one sees it. I tell them I think there's an injury. And then I realized they probably never took an MRI of the lower lumbar region. And so this is an injury that my subsequent falls happened to be on that spot. So I think the fact that I can feel improvement already, even though it's not lasting, means that it can be lasting.
Well, and that hope that we find, you know, when you can, wait a minute, because I don't know about you, but my tendency has been just to deal, you know, just to get along with it. And then I realize, whoa, this is painful, do something. And then I can change it when I pay attention to it, but it's really tempting to other it, to ignore it, but it doesn't go away.
No, that's right.
When I ignore it. And so in this way, you can, I think it's really great that I've had the injury in the same area that many are dealing with.
I'm amazed. I said, this is great. I can just follow her.
Great.
Linda, I don't know if you're aware that, you know, I used to jump out of airplanes.
I had forgotten that, Mary Ann Wilkins.
And I fractured a vertebrae, my lumbar one and lumbar two. I actually cracked them both. And at the time, I didn't realize how lucky I was. I do now know how lucky I was. But I had major sciatica because I put it to the side for almost 17 years. Because that's what you just did. They wanted to operate and, you know, fuse things. And I was like, no. And I figured every year that I delayed any surgery would be better. And that's kind of how I stumbled into you in Feldenkrais, because someone said, go, you know, they're ready to operate because it was so bad. My foot was starting to fall because of the sciatica.
Yeah.
And I got, someone said, go try out this Feldenkrais stuff. And I knew within two sessions that there was a difference. And within 6 months, mind you, again, 17-year-old pattern, it was gone. I mean, and then I, of course, became a Feldenkrais practitioner and learned T-Touch. But at the time I was doing T-Touch, I had learned T-Touch was starting my training then, and I got into Feldenkrais right about that same time. But the combination of the two of them, and I never work on like an animal without doing a little bit of a Feldenkrais move with the T-Touch. It's interesting how the two kind of, like you'd asked before, how do you separate them? In some ways, I can't separate it. There's nothing I do now that doesn't have T-Touch involved in it.
Whether interesting.
Energy medicine or Feldenkrais or, yeah. I mean, it's amazing, but taking extreme pain and using T-Touch and moving a slightly different way. Like when you're doing your T-Touches, you're encouraging people to move. And it's kind of like explore that different place while you're doing the T-Touch.
Yeah, and it's totally different if you don't move.
Right, exactly. So anyway, just thought I would share that. I mean, it's extreme pain to no pain. And again, it's been a long time since I've had pain from that fractured vertebrae. So there is hope.
Yeah.
Hope.
Definitely. Great. I would like to read, because I was thanks to Valentina, I want to read just another example of how, and these case studies are written by people who've never had any T-Touch for you. They just did the work for their animals. And this is relief for arthritis. A T-Touch practitioner shares three cases, well, I'll just do the one, where T-Touch provided relief from pain and swelling from arthritis. T-Touch is very helpful in cases of arthritis in the hands. A few years ago, a friend brought her mother to visit me. Mrs. A's arthritis was really acting up and her hands were so swollen she could not bend her fingers and was unable to button her coat. She fell asleep in the chair while I worked on her hands. Tiny, gentle raccoon touches all over both hands took the swelling down in about 7 minutes. Her daughter and I watched the swelling leave. It is fascinating to see a condition so severe change before your eyes where something with something so simple as a raccoon touch. When Mrs. A woke, she could bend her fingers, and when she left 15 minutes after that, she buttoned her own coat. These are, you know, this happens to us all the time. It's not news, but to me, I never get over the gratitude for the miracle that is. It's, to me, it's amazing. And it's like, this is, relieving distress in our in Alzheimer's patient. This was Barb Bewinski attended the demonstration of Linda Tellington-Jones in American Humane Society and started using T-Touch with her animals. Her mother is in a special home for care of Alzheimer's patients. Barb was called to emergency because her mother had an accident and broke her arm. The emergency attendants couldn't call on Barb's mother, so Barb started doing T-Touch on her mother's head. She calmed and was treated. We were impressed. It's so amazing how you can bring a state of calm with these magical spiral circles. So, Ellen, and this is interesting. Wow, this is, what is this? This one is for, This was improving muscle tone and motor development in cerebral palsy. And this is Lisa Dixon. This is interesting. My name is Lisa Dixon, and for the past 4 years now, I've been working with Linda's sister, Susan Hodgson. I'd heard of T-Team from a friend of mine, but knew nothing about it before I started to work with Susan. I have a daughter who was born with a mild form of cerebral palsy that affects only her legs. Samantha was born 2 months early and spent the first 2 months of her life in the hospital. She had only been home for a month when we moved here. She was 9 months old before anyone told us what was wrong, and we wondered why she wasn't sitting up or crawling. I started using T-Touch on the legs and hips every night, circles, python lifts, and the butterfly, and within 1 week, her tense muscle tone seemed to soften and relax. I used the work faithfully every night, and within 1 month, she was able to sit up by herself. Her balance was not great, and she would sometimes fall over, and if she ended up on her stomach, she could roll onto her back, but not from her back to her stomach. Susan had mentioned Sam's problem to Robin to see if she had any suggestions. Robin told me to try the lick of the cow's tongue, crisscrossing like an X on her back to opposite sides. I did this along with what I'd been doing faithfully every night. It was about a month from the time I'd started doing this, and I just and just 2 weeks before her first Christmas. I was beginning to think either I wasn't doing it right or it wasn't going to help, when all of a sudden one day she rolled over from her back to her stomach, got up on her knees, and crawled about a foot. By Christmas, she was crawling about halfway across the room. Without the help of T-Touch, I'm positive she would not have made the progress she has, if at all. All the doctors could suggest were devices to help prop her up. Samantha is now almost 4 years old, and although she will probably have to wear orthopedic braces the rest of her life, because she doesn't have Feldenkrais, she is now able to walk and run with the other kids. She will sometimes lose her balance and falls. She loves riding the horses and has perfect balance on them. All the doctors are amazed with her progress, and although she looked at me rather funny when I explained, well, the doctor did, what I was doing, seeing is believing. I'm so grateful. I mean, and the thing that's so interesting about this, I mean, I say if she'd had Feldenkrais, she wouldn't need any orthopedic braces. But the thing that's so interesting is that my sister, Susan, who I don't know if she's even been to a training with Robin, my other sister, that she could show her how to do this and make this change. And I don't know if I told you this story. One of our Italian practitioners had a little girl when I was there the first time who was 6 months old, and they had her in iron braces. And I was in shock. And this is in northern Italy. And I mean, I still, when I think about it, I'm in shock. So I suggest that Mia was teaching in Zurich, Mia Siegel, at the time, and they called her and they took her to Mia for 1 week. And I just talked to her last night, and she's 12 years old now, never had to wear anything. It's totally, totally normal. 1 week. No. And we all, I mean, this Feldenkrais work and this T-Touch is so, it does miracles, as those of you know do it. We need to acknowledge these miracles. And when we add in this recognition of this cellular wisdom, who we are, that we are these walking miracles, something different happens. And we just have to remember when we look at ourselves in the mirror, when we look at each other, that we're looking at miracles. We're looking at miracles. We are all miracles. And when we look at each other in this way, or we look in the mirror and we see the miracle we are, that we are this collection of 100 trillion just miraculous cells, that the world changes. And when we recognize that in ourselves, other people see us differently and it reflects back to them. We don't even really have to say anything, because there is this cell-to-cell communication where somebody will recognize this in you and want to know, wow, interesting. Have you got something I could have? Could help me. And it can. So I would love, if there's any, Yael, every time I've asked you, you've had a real gift to share with us, with your perspective. What have you been thinking this week? Anything you'd like to share with us before we end for the day? And it's so perfect that you're in Jerusalem, and you're in Israel, the home of Moshe. You know, there you are.
Yeah. I was thinking today about this painting in the Sistine. I was thinking today, wow, that was the first T-Touch. I was thinking about this, and I've never been there. I just saw pictures.
Ah, the Sistine Chapel.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ah, yes.
Wow, the God. Wait, that's the first T-Touch. And I thought, okay, I won't bother you with this. But then you go and talk about it, you know? So we have this sphere. I don't want to sound too crazy, but we have this sphere, and it affects us, even if we don't meet. Even when we don't meet.
Yes, and some of them weren't here in the beginning when I first read that first chapter from the T-Touch book that isn't published, and talking about the drawing of in the Sistine Chapel, the Michelangelo, beautiful when God touches and creates life. Fascinating that you remember that. That's fantastic. Thank you.
Thank you, Linda. Thank you.
Hey, Linda.
Yes.
I just was kind of, last week, I think I was playing on words, and I just thought we should change self to C-E-L-L-F instead of S-E-L-F.
Hi, Yona, that's a great idea, isn't it?
Self-love, right? Yes. Self-love.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. C-E-L-F, self-love, yes. Yes, the love of ourselves, the recognition of that amazing, creative knowing in every cell in our body. Yahoo! I want to leave you for the week with that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you all. And a blessing being with you.
Thanks, Linda.
Thank you, Linda.
Thank you. Blessings.
Thank you, Linda.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kirsten and Marianne.
Thank you, Linda.
Aloha. Have a great day or evening or night. And yes, Aime, we look forward to report.
I will. Thank you.
Feel the light. Aloha.
I will. Thank you. Bye.
Bye. Bye, Dawn.
Bye.
Bye.
Aloha.